Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show podcast. Thank you as always so much for tuning in. Today we talked about Kategate and I'm sorry, but we had to delve deep. We also spoke about witchcraft, a new WhatsApp message that went to UAE residents and the incredible resident who's giving out 1,500 meals per day.
And as I always advise, if you are not subscribed to the Love in Dubai Show podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to always enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, Dubai police arrests a woman for using witchcraft talismans.
As well, India's Prime Minister sends a WhatsApp message to the UAE residents.
The UAE president has announced a 50% allowance to mosque staff.
As well, high-rise building tenants have different prayer timings.
We're super excited. Later in the show, we'll be joined by an incredible human who is part of Dubai Goodwill, who distribute 1,500 meals daily throughout the holy month of Ramadan.
It is day 166 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen up to 31,819, while 73,934 have been injured, and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Dubai Iftar time today is 6:33. You can find up-to-date prayer times on Love in Dubai website.
As well, and Casey is fasting today.
Yes, I am. Wish me luck. I got up at 4 a.m. I stopped eating at 5:06, if I'm a minute wrong.
Yes, no.
So far, so good. I enjoyed the practice of actually making breakfast and enjoying breakfast, but I felt super sick because I had triple the amount of food I would eat at that time ever. And I had a lot of coffee. And then I tried to sleep. So it's going to be an interesting day.
I mean, it's fine. A lot of people do, you know, they have this like panic that they're going to get hungry. So they eat a lot. But, of course, before the iftar, which is, as you said, it's going to be at 6:33, I would be checking up on you like, hi, Casey, how are you doing? How's it going? Did you survive? Are you surviving?
I did it once last year, and I think... I hope it's going to be fine. I think just not overthink it. I think if you think about it, it's tricky. Well, if you think, oh, I need to have a drink now, it's tricky. So the aim is that I don't. But if you have any tips for me, I'm all ears. Before we get to this, I want to jump into today's weather. You can expect cloudy skies today with humidity highs of 64%. And it looks like another storm might be on the way. That's right. The NCM announced a warning for the coming weekend. So Brawley's out, washing in, rain and strong winds are expected from Sunday to Tuesday. What was not expected was the storm on Twitter and TikTok that resulted from this video. I can't. And I'm sorry for talking about it. I really am.
I mean, it's literally Where Is Kate is all over my For You page on TikTok. And... this video has been out, and a lot of people are like, this is not Kate. What do you think, Casey? Do you think this is Kate or not?
I would like to apologize for using our platform to have this conversation. It just feels like it needs to be addressed. I think Kate is absolutely fine. I don't care if this is real or I think it's real. I think it was maybe it was released by maybe it was like... sent to TMZ via secretive channels by the royals to prove that she's alive. And now people are picking it apart. Like, how dare they? Like, there's terrible things going on in the world. And why are we focused on this? And they're looking at her neck. They're looking at her cheek. They're looking at the way she walks. They're looking at her height in comparison to William. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, even if it's not her, there's a poor woman that's actually somewhere that maybe doesn't want to face the media who's having to see this onslaught of public opinion, and it's sad.
Okay. You want to hear my conspiracy, no. Katie? Okay. I'll tell you. So, I'm so sorry, but this is my theory. I don't think this is Kate. I really don't. No, at the beginning, I was like, fine, you know, people are making a huge big deal about all of these things, right? But the lady has been gone since December of 2023. We haven't seen her. Who cares? She is a royal. We care. She's not a normal person.
She's not gone. I think she's absolutely fine and she's just taking a moment.
How is that her? How is that her?
Just how is that not
tell
her?
Me, that is not her. That is not her. You know what I mean?
I think we've gone too far. I think people are actually loving this. And I think anything that will be released will be dissected to the inch of its life. I think people want something to troll and they're choosing this.
I think...
And why not? Why aren't people even looking at William?
I mean...
Why is he not?
Because a lot of people are like, you know what? They must have, I don't know, had a fight. And then she, like, I don't know, like, ran away to hide or to maybe just, like... you know, get away from like a situation, which is something normal that we all do, right? So, of course, maybe she actually needed her specific alone, you know, time aside from all of her duties. Maybe that's the case, which is probably the case. And people are like, as you said, dissected way too much into it and fed it a lot of stories and a lot of narratives because like the rumors have been crazy. I mean, some people were like, oh yeah, she probably, ha ha ha, Kate coming back from BBL. It's like...
What's BBL?
It's a...
Baby.
No. It's a plastic surgery.
Oh.
Done in the
not
body.
No, this is not happening.
It's not happening.
I genuinely don't care if that's not her.
Yeah.
And I genuinely don't care if that image was photoshopped. Because it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's literally a woman who's... If that's the case that they went to those lengths, she's not feeling well, and they are trying to protect her, if that's the case. And if it's not the case, that is her, and we're dissecting this.
That's
like, surely our lives are worth more than... Okay,
we just... Okay, fine. No, but that's the point, you know? If, let's say, like, that's not her, right? A lot of people are like, fine, if it's not her, why lie? Just tell us, where is she? Is she fine? Is she not? And if why would they need, why is there a need to lie if there is not something hidden? What's hidden that, you know, causes the British media to actually, I don't know, release such a video?
But you could name any random celebrity right now.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. I just named him. Where is Tom Cruise? Where is he? I haven't seen him. I need to see a photo of him with today's paper or I shall not rest. Do you know what I mean? Do you know how crazy that sounds? And
okay,
how unfair
fine.
It is to a human being? I can't. Like, I genuinely don't care if that's her or not. Poor Kate. I think we've gone way too far on this and I think it needs to stop.
I agree, but I don't think this is Kate. I'm just like saying
Speaking of witchcraft and wizardry, let's move on to our first story.
So, Dubai police arrests a woman for using witchcraft talismans. Of course, a woman has been arrested in Dubai for begging and practicing witchcraft, which she believed would help her influence people to give her money. Dubai police said she was caught in a residential area and they found witchcraft talismans, papers and tools in her possession.
The arrest is part of a combat begging campaign and the primary objective is to raise awareness about the importance of preserving the nation's image by combating and preventing the crime of begging.
As well, Brigadier Ali Salim Al-Shamsi, director of the Suspects and Criminal Phenomena Department, has emphasized the importance of not falling victim to beggars, deceptive tactics, and fabricated stories.
So don't be a victim of these scams. He also urged the public to promptly report incidents of begging via the toll-free number 901 or the Police Eye service on the Dubai app, while online begging schemes can be also reported through the e-crime platform www.ecrime.ae.
Honestly, this is, by the way, it's my worst nightmare to have someone, I don't know, have a witchcraft spell done on me. It's my worst nightmare. And by the way, these things are real. In our culture, in the Muslim culture, it is real. And a lot of people do actually fall victims of these things.
Well, all we know is that this lady was not real and it was bogus. It was a crime. She was trying to take money from people. And luckily, the police were able to... figure her out for what she was, which was a scam artist. And the poor people that I guess believed her, that she was real and gave her money, that is a shame. But luckily, she has been arrested.
100%. I knew my dad all the time tells me to avoid, because a lot, oh my God, there was this one lady that she was spamming my Instagram, telling me things like, from your picture, I can tell your energy, you need healing energy, let me give you a reading, let me do this, let me do that. And I was like scared. And I opened her profile and she does like weird stuff like this. And I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do? Like, I'm scared if I block her, she would have like some witchcraft done on me. Yeah. And I wouldn't have luck throughout my life. It is, by the way, it's all over the internet. But we should not believe them, because what they're going to do is that they will tell you like, hey, this is a spell that's, let's say, going to get you this. But it's not going to get you. So you're going to come back because you're going to want more, because you believe in them, because you think that they're authority in a way or something. Which is really bad.
Well, judging from the story that we've just seen,
she's a liar.
We can assume that she was a liar also. So there's no, hopefully, that's spell coming your way. And then also, we had a story yesterday about 600 of these illicit fake websites being removed. Yes. So it's just people trying to get money from you in different
ways.
That's
true, yes.
Speaking of weird messages coming to people, our next story got a big response yesterday. So India's Prime Minister sent a WhatsApp message to UAE residents. So under India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, the government of India sent a WhatsApp message that was apparently meant for Indian residents. However, it was received by several other nationalities. The message was from Vikshit Bhakrat Sampark, and it went out on Sunday, March 17th, and it reached UAE phone numbers of Indians, British, Irish, Syrian, Pakistanis, and several other expatriates, myself included.
Yes, and while many assumed it was spam and blocked the number, internet advocates are surprised by the reach of the message and suspect a bigger issue of data privacy concerns. It is still unclear how the government of India has gained access to numbers of several nationalities outside India.
Just if you're watching now, if we could do a quick hands up on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or podcast, send us a DM. Did you get it? We put a poll on Instagram, and the tally in the last 24 hours, 648 of you said yes. In fact, you got the message, which is quite mind-boggling to understand how the Indian government had all of our numbers. And 223 of you said no, and there seems to be no distinction based on where you're from. I got the message. I didn't delete it, actually, but I barely gave it a moment because I didn't recognize the name. I just thought it was spam, and I didn't really actually, I barely read it. I just kind of moved on. And it was only when I saw a lot of people saying that they got the same. And then Annika wrote the story yesterday. I was like, oh, that was me.
Yeah. And even, by the way, my uncle and his wife, and my sister, actually, they got the message. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, I wake up in the morning and he's like, oh, he sent us a voice note on the family group saying that this is a scam.
It's
and
not.
To block the number. And my sister was like, oh, yeah, I blocked. And my uncle was like, oh, yeah, this is a scam and so on. And when Annika has asked me if we have gotten the message or not, I was like, I hadn't, by the till this day, I hadn't gotten the message, which is like kind of like odd. Like, it's like, why haven't I gotten the message? I don't know.
I've just opened it now, and it's the message says, it starts with Namaste. This letter has been sent by the government of India, but you just don't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, why are they messaging me?
That's true.
And they kind of just mention kind of they're pro what the Narendra Modi government is doing. And then also it says this is kind of like this is the PDF download. So this was the pre-intro to that. They said, you're therefore requested to kindly share your feedback and your suggestions on the vision. Your participation is crucial as we work together as a one family. So I think it was just meant for Indian residents.
I don't know, honestly.
Strange one. And really questionable, who did I give my number to? But you know, the data privacy here is very different, that if you do give your number, let's say, to a store, which I always do because it's just easier than saying no.
It's easier to just like, you know, give them the number and just like leave.
Do you ever say no?
Yeah.
I started saying no, and I feel so rude.
Oh my God.
Because it's a nice
you should.
Man
you should
or woman, no. And they're like, can I just get your number? And I'm like, I'm sorry, no. And they're like, you know, it's that moment of like, sorry. Because it's not them. They're requesting because they have to.
I know.
It's those people up there, the corporates.
I know, but then they annoy you with, they just like bombard you with messages and so on, which is very annoying.
Telling
to
you
me.
About sales.
Literally, it's like, oh, we have a 50% sale on. We have this and we have that. And then you go to the sale and it's like barely anything that's on sale.
That is a good point. The sales are never good enough. It's
literally.
Always the old stuff.
So maybe that's why I didn't get the message. Because, you know, I'm very like...
Because you said no.
I do say no a lot because like I have like very like strict like boundaries within myself and someone else that I don't know. You know, because like I feel like what like my number can be like lost anywhere. So it's, I don't know. It's like I just like have this like weird mindset.
Strong, yeah, like you're like, giving it to, fair.
I'm giving it to someone and you never know my number, it might reach anyone else, you know, because like it might fall into anyone's hands. I mean, yeah, so funny. Even my cousin was like, oh my God, India does not want me because he hasn't received the message.
Where's my message? That's actually really strong to have. And it's fair yes. because your number is like these phones, they're stuck to us. They're part yeah. of us and your number is part of that. Let's jump into our next story, one that we really love to hear.
Yes. Yeah, so the UAE president announces a 50% allowance to mosque staff. Now, the president, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, has directed a monthly allowance equivalent to 50% of the basic salary for mosque staff employed by the General Authority of Islamic Affairs and Endowments. Now, this action has taken of gratitude to imams and muezzins for, of course, upholding high standards and creating a conducive environment for worshippers in the UAE mosques.
There is high praise to the ruler of the UAE for this move, Dr. Omar Habtour Al-Dhari, who is the chairman of the General Authority of Islamic Affairs and Endowments. He verified the allowance that it will be automatically integrated into the monthly salaries. He conveyed appreciation to the UAE President and His Highness Sheikh Mansour bin Zayed, Vice President, Deputy Prime Minister and Chairman of the Presidential Court for their care for mosque employees, as well as their support for the General Authority of Islamic Affairs.
This is amazing. And honestly, they deserve it because like I just can't imagine being a muezzin or being, you know, an imam and just like, you know, having to call everyone for a prayer, right? And it's your responsibility to call them on time. And they do more than that, by the way. They as well are very aware of, they stay at the mosque, and if anyone, like let's say Muslim or even non-Muslim are welcome to the mosque, they need any guidance, they will go there and they will hear the best amazing guidance from the Sheikh.
So interesting.
Literally.
So as we said, well deserved. And so nice to get it throughout the holy month of Ramadan so they know that they're respected and appreciated.
They are 100%.
This was part of a number of announcements made yesterday from the cabinet government, and we have an article on that on Love in Dubai if you would like to read more. It's 8:48. Nearly we'll be joined by our guest. But before we get there, we want to talk about the high-rise building tenants who have different prayer times. So tenants in high-rise buildings have towers with a slightly different prayer time than those closer to the ground. The Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque Center shared an information sheet on the prayer times adjusted for those living in towers and high-rise buildings.
Now, unsurprisingly, those who live up at the top of the Burj Khalifa, which is 828 meters tall, will be most aware of the significant difference, with the height adding to extra 2.5 minutes to the prayer time.
But basically, if you live on floor 5, for example, yeah. you don't need to worry. Okay. These variations in times, they will only come into effect. So for example, the majority of us are breaking fast at 6:33. The variation in times only come into effect from about 60 feet up. That's 230 to 300 meters, where at that point, you add half a minute onto your time. So if anyone watching, we could go one by one through the differences, but I don't know, does anyone actually live above floor 81, 300 meters? Does anyone live above 116?
Casey, I would rather die than live that
high.
Because imagine I'm fasting and I'm too hungry, and then I have to wait like half a minute to break my fast.
Well, Amir J. Khan responded, thanks for the info, I'm going to start breaking my fast in the lobby.
Okay, fine. See, that's fair, but like, I don't know. I don't think that's even like real, because like, it's like...
It's real.
Like, yeah, but like, it's like the moon...
The earth curvature. Because the earth, and then you go to a different country, it changes by an hour, for example.
No.
But we don't like, how many people actually live above floor 60? Anyone watching the show, I've never lived above floor 6, I think. No, 11. 9. 9.
I mean, this
What's
is
the high, where's the highest you've lived?
32.
So that would never have affected you.
That would have never affected me. But this is, I mean, these are good news for me. That's why I'm not rich and I can't afford living in Burj Khalifa.
True. It's not just Burj Khalifa, though. It's anyone living in anywhere above a certain floor level. So anyone above 230 meters, you might want to take this into consideration. Mm-hmm. The exact prayer times are on a post that we shared yesterday on Instagram. And it gives you the specific. So it's only 30 seconds extra if you're floor 60. It goes up to a minute, 1.5 to 2.5.
Yeah, but 30 seconds, I could have had my date. You know, like
that is true. Speaking of people who will be breaking fast at the regular time in Dubai, which is 6:33 today, we're going to introduce you shortly to our next guest, part of Dubai Goodwill. They are distributing meals throughout the holy month of Ramadan, and we're going to share how you can get involved. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show with the aim to distribute 1,500 meals per day throughout the holy month of Ramadan. It's a busy time for our guest. Shada is a compassionate volunteer from Dubai Goodwill, which is a licensed initiative handing out iftar throughout the holy month. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, before we start with our Goodwill questions, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Shada Abdelrazak, born and raised in Dubai. A little bit background about myself. I do art. I conduct workshops for children, and at the same time, I do a lot of volunteering work. I volunteered in Expo, COP28, Special Olympics, and things like that. And it was then that I met the team of Dubai Goodwill. And now I'm one of the members of Dubai Goodwill. Basically, Dubai Goodwill is an initiative where we're a group of people with different backgrounds, different genders, age groups, religions. We come together to distribute iftar meals, and I think our diversity is basically what makes us unique and what makes our initiative stand out comparing to the other initiatives.
So interesting, and we'll definitely talk a lot about Dubai Goodwill. But before that, like, how amazing for you to kind of push yourself to be involved in so many different types of volunteering organizations. Like, what age did you start and what ignited that passion within you?
The fact that because I had the privilege of being born in Dubai, so I think we have great leaders here that always encouraged us to do good, give back to the community, charity work. And I think a lot of like Middle Eastern families also like we have this. So I grew up with it. So that's why, like, whenever there's an opportunity to volunteer or to give back or any charity work, we don't think of it twice. We definitely go for it. Sure. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, what actually inspired you to join Goodwill?
The fact that us as a team, we all come from different backgrounds, and the fact that Dubai Goodwill, it's not about just giving iftar meals. While with the meals, we give out smiles, we give them a kind word, we ask how was their day. So, with the meal, these little things actually make a difference, you know? And every Ramadan, honestly, me going to the mosque, our mosque is located in Al-Badr 1, the fact that, like, you know, I always look up for it. I feel like I'm doing something great, and it's the highlight of my day, honestly, because, like, having a smile on someone's face, making a little bit difference in someone's life will actually definitely come back to you.
So sweet. You mentioned, so you weren't a founder, but you joined Dubai Goodwill. Do you know, just to give people a bit of an understanding of maybe when it started and how it works and the team there?
Yes. So basically, Dubai Goodwill, it started 3 years ago, so three Ramadans ago. And it's just like we were just a group of friends, neighbors. We came together. Okay. We decided to give out iftar meals. From the first year, I would like to mention that we were certified by Dubai Islamic Affairs. We're licensed, we're registered. It just started since three. This is our third year with the iftar distribution.
So you've mentioned that it is multicultural.
Yes.
Why did you choose the initiative to be involved, you know, by like a lot of like multicultural people?
Mm-hmm. Because I think we all teach each other, and like, you know, the fact that it's a diverse environment, we exchange things even amongst ourselves, even amongst the team. So I think this is what makes the experience more significant, I would say.
You know what's so interesting is I think so many of us, whether you're born in Dubai or whether you've come here as an expat, we all feel that privilege.
Yeah.
And so many people want to give back. And I think it's amazing that you guys have, you know, you've become a licensed entity. Was that difficult? Was that, or what was the process to do that?
So I wasn't really involved in the licensing process, but I think because like Dubai is a very, like, you know, everything you can do online. So I'm assuming it wasn't that of a hard process, and the fact that the government encourages individuals to do good, you know, and to give back to their communities. So I'm sure they made the process easier for individuals.
Interesting.
Yes.
So we've mentioned that you do give out 1,500 meals a day.
Yes.
But specifically, how many meals do you actually give out a day?
So we started off, day one was 1,500. Yesterday we did 1,800, and we're aiming to give out 2,000 meals by the end of Ramadan. Hopefully, inshallah, by 45,000 or to 50,000 meals throughout the holy month.
Well done.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. And I see these videos, I think everyone sees them, and people want to get involved. But my first question, before we ask how people can join, is like, where does the food come from? Who makes it?
So we we have a contract with a restaurant that they provide the meals for us. And then we specifically ask them to have like a different menu each day. And so usually one day it's like beef, rice, chicken,
okay.
Vegetables. Like we try to have a variety menu so that the people, the visitors that because we have a lot of regular visitors that come every day. So we don't want them to feel bored.
Interesting.
Yeah. So of course, you know, like volunteering is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
But it must have come with some obstacles. You must have faced some obstacles. If you can share with us some of the obstacles that you have faced while volunteering, of course.
The only obstacle that I can think of right now is basically like day one, every year in Ramadan, like distributing the roles. So like till we get the hang of it, mm-hmm. Each team member is gonna, one person has to do crowd control, the other person has to do the briefings for the volunteers, putting them in positions, guiding them through the meal distribution. But as soon as like, you know, day one is over, everyone got the hang of it, we know our positions, and the process goes very smoothly. And Casey, I would like to also add that alongside with the meals, we also, because the area that we do the food distribution, it's a very male dominant area. This is why we decided to have a family section where we distribute the same meals to women and children. And this year we started a toy station where we give out a lot of toys to children, because we have a lot of children visiting us. And that's like my favorite station, because like, you know, you can see the joy and the happiness of the kids on their faces. It's just beautiful. And we do a lot of like clothes also donation. And this year also, we as a team, we decided to every year to improve one aspect of the volunteer work. So we decided to do the meal distributions in biodegradable plastic bags, in which it's very environment friendly, and it does not cause harm to the environment. And in parallel with the vision of the UAE, because it's the year of sustainability, a year 2023 and 2024. So we also wanted to have a very environment friendly initiative.
Love that. There's some you've got so many great things going on in terms of kids and environment, and anyone watching today, how could they help you? If you were to say to the public, like, this is what we need to do better, what would you ask for?
Volunteers, I would say. So usually, if people want to, we would be very happy to see new faces every day. People, like, you know, with different backgrounds, they definitely are an added value to the team. They make a difference. So we always encourage volunteers. And if they want to volunteer with us, they can just approach our Instagram page, Dubai Goodwill, and get in contact with us, and my team members will help them through the booking in our available slots.
Amazing. Yeah. That is actually really beautiful. But what is one message? Because a lot of people find it really hard to volunteer. So what is, and or they go like, oh, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough this, I don't have, you know, they think so in that way. So
I don't have enough time.
Exactly. Time. Yeah. That is a very big, I would say, like, it's big, because, like, we all, you know, time and with work and so
it
on and everything.
People, yeah.
For sure. So what is one thing that you, a message that you would convey to everyone?
So the message that I can think of is that this little act, or them coming every, just one day, and they making time, just like, if they see the little difference they're making in the community, it would trigger them and motivate them to, you know, come and do the move, or, like, you know, show up and come and help. It's such an amazing and happy feeling.
Interesting. I just, that feeling, because we've spoken to a couple of people recently who are, you know, doing similar strong community give back initiatives. Can you remember a moment throughout your time volunteering where that particular feeling kind of came? Maybe it was a specific interaction with someone, or a specific amount you gave back, or something that really kind of ignited that feeling.
So there were many happy and memories that I always remember, but one moment that I really will never forget is that because a lot of the visitors who come, and the regular guests that come and collect the meals daily, unfortunately lost their jobs. So they come, and my team, they help them, you know, once they approach us, we help them create CVs. We've done that multiple times. We created professional CVs for them. We help them prepare for their interviews and land jobs. And since last year that we've been doing this, we managed to get more than 15 people like into full-time jobs.
Wow.
So
the
fact that once they come back, and the happiness and the joy on their faces is just like a moment you would never forget. It's a beautiful feeling.
I have goosebumps.
that is actually beautiful.
Yeah. And they actually do come back, and they're like, thank you, now I have a job. I can, you know, I can support my family back home. It's just like, you can never forget that feeling.
It's amazing.
No, it is. It is beautiful. So, of course, people can donate and volunteer. If they can, how can they find you? Because I'm sure now everyone's like, fine, I want to donate. Fine, I want to, you know, be a part of this. But how can I do so?
Text us, leave us a message on Instagram. Yeah. And as soon as, like, you know, they drop a message, my team is always there to help. We're a very, like, helpful. We encourage a lot of volunteers to come and participate. So just, like, leave us a text, and, you know, we'll get it from there.
Love that so much. So Shada from Dubai Goodwill, if you want to find them on Instagram at Dubai Goodwill, doing amazing things, not just handing out meals, but also getting jobs throughout the holy month of Ramadan. Shada, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate
thank
it.
You. I wanted to also thank Love in Dubai for shedding lights on small initiatives such as Dubai Goodwill, and showcasing this to the audience. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your kindness.
It's community stories that people send us. Yes. So thank you to the audience for sending us through. Yes. It's a whole round of thank yous. Guys, that brings us to the end of our show today. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye.